By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine. By the grace of Allah.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madini channel Let's begin by reciting درود upon the Prophet صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله الحمد لله عز وجل You know, I am happy, excited to be inviting you to our program which goes by the name of Rise and Shine. Each and every single day, Alhamdulillah, we have a new guest, a new topic each and every day, a new segment, a reminder of the day, a daily hadith. But as always, we begin by listening to the verses of the glorious Quran. Now today also, Alhamdulillah, as usual, we have a Qari. But who is today's Qari, my dear Islamic brothers and viewers of the channel? It is none other than our guest, Ustad Mubin Al-Madini Sahib, a graduate of Jamiat Al-Madina, Bradford. Let's begin our day, as usual, by listening to the glorious verses of the Holy Quran. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
Before reciting the verses of the Holy Quran, I'll make the intention that I'm reciting for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the viewer should also make good intentions. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Fa'idha ja'atit tammatul kubra. يوم يتذكر الإنسان ما سعى وبرزت الجحيم لمن يرى فأما من طغى وآثر الحياة الدنيا فإن الجحيم هي المأوى وأما من خاف مقام ربه ونهى النفس عن الهوى فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ السَّاعَةِ أَيَّانَ مُرْسَاهَا فِيمَ أَنْتَ مِنْ ذِكْرَاهَا إِلَى رَبِّكَ مُنْتَهَاهَا إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ مُنْذِرُ مَنْ يَخْشَاهَا كأنهم يوم يرونها لم يلبثوا إلا عشية أو ضحاها صدق الله العظيم
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madini channel Firstly, I would like to thank our Ustad Mubin Sahib MashaAllah for on the one hand joining us by you know blessing us today with his presence on this holy day My dear Islamic brothers Secondly, I would like to thank you for MashaAllah giving us a beautiful tilawat SubhanAllah JazakAllahu khairan for that the question is, you know, I think the viewers of the channel would also like to hear it. Do you have an answer for us? Is that too much to ask for?
As we know, I think it's a saying that's attributed to Amir al-Sunnah, that every Sunni is an adhan.
Allah, Allah, Allah.
So alhamdulillah, we all recite praise of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Sallallahu
Some do it through prose, some do it through poetry, some do it through speech. Some do it through melody. So I don't really have a voice which is appropriate for reciting naat in front of the public. I'd say the Allah Hazrat alayhi rahma, in one place he mentions that a way of increasing ishqi rasul, a way of increasing love for the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is to listen to naat, to listen to poetry in praise of the Prophet alayhi wasallam, recited by people who have melodious voices.
Allah, Allah, so, unfortunately, it's only you here with a melodious voice. I know you tried to pay down me, didn't you?
I'm sure you can recite for us.
Allahu Akbar, I wish I could, Ustaz. Many times, brothers and viewers of Madhi Shah, inshallah, when Ustaz is ready, he will read us a Naat. But if not, no problem. Dear Madhi Samar, brothers and viewers of Madhini channel, we have a new topic. Today's topic, would you like to share it? I know you know you're not ready to share a Naat with us, but
Shall we read it not together?
Go on then.
Okay.
Subhanallah.
Sallallahu alayka ya رسول الله وسلم عليك يا حبيب الله چمک تجھ سے پاتے ہیں سب پانے والے چمک تجھ سے پاتے ہیں سب پانے والے میرا دل بھی چمکا دے چمکانے والے چمک تجھ سے پاتے ہیں سب پانے والے رضا نفس دشمن ہے دم میں نہ آنا رضا نفس دشمن ہے دم میں نہ آنا کہاں تم نے دیکھے ہیں چند رانے والے کہاں تم نے دیکھے ہیں چند رانے والے چمک تجھ سے پاتے ہیں سب پانے والے میرا دل بھی چمکا دے چمکانے والے صلوا على الحبيب
صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم ما شاء الله ما شاء الله ما شاء الله جزاك الله خير أساسا for sharing this beautiful naat. Out of all, why did you choose this?
This is a naat which
just because it's easy for you to read.
Yes, it's one of my favorite naats written by Sayyidi Ala Hazrat radiallahu anhu, and just the beginning of it, how he begins it, and the request that he's presenting in the court of the Prophet ﷺ is so beautiful. So he's saying that, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are the light of Allah, and everything was created from your nur. Everything was made from your light. Everything that gets light, everything that is enlightened, everything that sparkles, sparkles because of you.
Allah.
Everything that gained light, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, gained it from you. Mera dil bhi chamka de chamkane wale. Ya Rasulullah, since you are the source of light, so enlighten my heart as well.
Allah.
Grant my heart illumination as well. So it's such a blessed request in the court of the Prophet ﷺ because our hearts, especially in this day and age, our hearts become rusted because of sins. And it's important for us to worry about the state of our hearts. As the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith that there's a piece of flesh within the body. When that piece of flesh is sound, the rest of the body is sound.
Allah.
When that piece of flesh is corrupt, the rest of the body is corrupt. Ala wa hiya al-qalb. Listen carefully, take note, that piece of flesh is indeed the heart. So the heart is, you can say, what everything else depends on. So if our heart is enlightened by the nur of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, then everything else in our life would be
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enlighten each and every one of our hearts.
Ameen.
Allahumma ameen. In this program of Rise and Shine, inshallah, if only our heart was enlightened so much that we are able to truly shine. No doubt the method of shining is from Ishqi Rasul, isn't it?
Definitely.
You know, by bringing ourselves to the lowest point, my dear seven brothers and viewers of Mandi channel, you know, to kiss, even if we were able to kiss the dust which touched the feet of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, no doubt we would be shining.
Definitely.
May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us this ability.
You mentioned the dust, the blessed dust and the blessed feet of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. In one place in Hadaki Bakshi, Sayyidi Ala Hazrat radiallahu anh, he mentions that the dust, he states regarding, you can say the message that he's giving is that the dust under the blessed feet of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is far enlightened beyond our imagination. Even the dust under the footsteps of the animal upon which the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam rides, even that is enlightened. How enlightened is it? He says, Noor ki khairat lene doorte hain mehruma, uthti hai kis shaan se garde suwari wahwa. He says that the light, the dust under the blessed feet of the animal of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, which is being kicked up as the Prophet alayhi wa sallam rides his animal, that dust is so enlightened and contains so much light that even the sun and the moon come and beg light from that dust. Noor ki khairat lene doorte hain mehruma. The sun and the moon run, they race to get light from that dust under the footsteps of the animal which the Prophet alayhi wasallam.
SubhanAllah, you know, you've begun our program beautifully, mashallah. But we also have a topic of the day, don't we?
We do.
What is today's topic?
Today's topic is regarding zakat. Zakat is a pillar of Islam, and zakat is so important that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned zakat with salah 32 times in the Quran. So that gives us an indication into the importance of zakat. And obviously the fact that it's a pillar of Islam, and Islam is built on five pillars, and this is one of those five pillars, also tells us about its importance. So today,
but
inshallah...
You mentioned that zakat with salah. Now, some people may be thinking that salah is only mentioned 32 times.
No, salah is mentioned many more times. But zakat and salah together.
Right, have been mentioned together 32
together,
times.
Together, 32 times.
Jazakallahu khairah. Right, so Madhya Sam Rose of Yuzum Channel, the topic of the day is zakat. Now, I think, you know, each and every single one of you would have heard of zakat. Now, we think zakat, charity, you know, sadaqah, is there any difference? And what are the types of charity?
Yeah, there are various types of charity. So zakat is fard, it's an obligation
right
upon the person who fulfills the conditions. So for that, obviously there's certain conditions. The person has to be baligh, has to have reached the Islamic age of puberty, and he has to be sane, his intellect should be intact, and a year should pass on that wealth as well. And then obviously there's certain wealth which it's on and certain wealth which is not. So zakat is not on everything. Zakat is on gold, it's on silver, it's on cash, it's on trade goods, things that we've, business stock, things that we've purchased with the intention of selling. These are the key things in our society. Obviously there's animals as well, but in the UK at least,
in the United Kingdom,
people don't have camels and goats and cows.
I think in South Africa?
Yeah, possibly, yeah. So if somebody has a certain number of camels, a certain number of goats, or a certain number of cows.
This goes to Africa, doesn't it? It goes to America.
Yeah,
America,
yeah.
We probably wouldn't find it.
Possibly in certain areas, in rural areas.
In fact, you would.
In rural areas, possibly.
Yeah.
So if somebody has cows, somebody has camels, somebody has goats or sheep.
Cattle.
The condition for that is that for the majority of the year, the whole year, or the majority of the year, you should graze on open land. If those animals graze on open land and you're not feeding them your own hay or your own food stuff, then in that case, zakat will also be necessary upon them if they reach a certain number. So for camels, it's five, and there's a certain number for each type of animal. So if somebody has those animals, they can obviously contact.
Yeah, they should contact a scholar. I don't think we'll be talking about the animals today. In fact, that's actually reminding me of stuff I'm thinking. Maybe we should talk about an animal. So like, for example, we talk about a fruit, don't we?
Mm.
On Wednesdays, we speak about a specific fruit.
Mm.
On Tuesdays, a department of Dawat Islami. Mondays, health is wealth. We speak to a professional, a doctor, etc. Thursdays, we normally have a look on society.
Okay.
Where we have the braised bear from South Africa.
Mm.
Fridays, today's, we look at a home remedy.
Okay.
I'm thinking we could add to this by speaking about an animal. Each and every single week now, animals are one of the creation, no doubt, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, something that, you know, animals, where people don't understand that, yes, we must respect animals.
Definitely.
We should, shouldn't we?
We should.
And we need to look after animals, especially those who take the responsibility of keeping an animal or keeping a pet, then, you know, these rights of the animal which
there are, there's rulings of Islam which apply to that as well.
You've actually given me an idea there to make, you know, to shine our program even more. I will look into that, my dear brothers and viewers of Mother Channel. Similarly, if you have any other idea, you know, it is a new program. We do wish to improve it, bring, you know, more of a variety to our Rise and Shine. If you do have any ideas, please, there is a WhatsApp number, a number with a WhatsApp icon. Please send in your ideas, send in your feedback, and don't forget, we also have a picture of the day. This is a picture of the 2 days, because yesterday we didn't get the opportunity to speak about the picture, so you can also take a look at our picture. We have, on this picture we have, a few different types of, say, games, a mobile phone, it's a pad, isn't it, like a PlayStation pad, possibly an Xbox pad, the way that's shaped. And these are carrying a book. There's also a piece of headphones with a shovel there or a spade there, and then some sort of hole in the ground with some, you know, buildings in the background.
Very interesting.
Have you taken a good look at it?
I have, yeah.
You got much to say on it? Inshallah, I hope you do, inshallah. We will come to you later on, my dear son and brothers. Please, those who do understand, or even give it an attempt, you know, there's no wrong answers. This is what we've said before, that we don't really have a wrong answer. I think sometimes the answer could be far-fetched, maybe.
Possibly.
But generally, we can't really say, oh no, you're right or you're wrong. So don't worry, whatever you're saying.
It's open to interpretation.
Yeah, it's all your own, you know, depending on your imagination. Sometimes in South Africa, we have some really brilliant ones, honestly.
Mashallah.
Where you think, you know, only this could be said about this image. But sometimes somebody gives such a, you know, such information on it, where you think, wow, subhanAllah, what an imagination, you know, what a brilliant mind is really what you think. Let's see what you have to say about our picture today. Before that, so we are speaking about zakat. So
yes, I was just saying that.
What it literally means.
Yes, yeah, zakat linguistically has three meanings. One meaning is tahara, which means purification. One meaning is barakah, which means blessings. And one meaning is nama, which means growth. So zakat linguistically includes all three of these meanings: purification, blessings, and growth. And the reason is because it's quite obvious, because by giving zakat, we purify our wealth.
Yeah.
We gain blessings in our wealth. And in actual fact, our wealth grows. Somebody might be thinking that...
How do they grow?
Yeah, so we have to give, for example, 2.5% of our wealth, which is zakatable, which is zakat is due upon. So when we take out 2.5% of that, surely our wealth has decreased. How does it grow? Mufti Ahmed Al-Khan Naimi, rahimahullah, gives a beautiful example to explain this. And he says that it's like a farmer who goes into a field with a sack of grain. So he's got that sack of grain, and that's his entire wealth.
Right.
That's his entire belongings. So he's going, and he's emptying out his sack into an empty field.
Okay.
And he's coming back to his home with an empty sack. The person who's watching him will say he's just thrown away all of his wealth. He's just lost all of his wealth. But the farmer will reply and answer and say that I know that in a few months' time, when the harvest comes, I haven't actually wasted these grains. Rather, I'll be getting back much more than I put in the first place. Similarly, when a person gives zakat and he donates in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, physically, his bank balance might decrease.
Yeah.
Next time he checks his bank balance, there might be a lower physical number in the account after he's taken out his zakat. But, in actual fact, taking out that zakat is a means of granting him more blessings in the future.
Allah.
In this life, and more importantly, in the hereafter.
So zakat means to purify, it means barakah, blessing.
And it means to grow.
And at the same time, it means to grow. SubhanAllah. My dear son and brothers and viewers of Madani channel, you know, how many of you, you know, you may be wondering that, wow, I didn't know what zakat meant before. Allah Akbar, you know, I've just learned this is what zakat actually means. So zakat has a literal meaning to it.
Yes.
So that's what it literally means. Technically, what does zakat mean? When we say zakat, what do we refer to by zakat?
Zakat, technically, in the language of Sharia, we've already kind of touched upon it.
Yeah,
it means giving a certain portion of a person's wealth upon which zakat is due and putting it into the ownership of somebody deserving of zakat.
Right.
So that's kind of a summary of the technical definition of zakat. And just to complete the first question which you asked, the different types of donations. So zakat is an obligation. Then there's certain types of...
I'm actually going to ask you this again.
Yeah, there's certain types of charity which are wajib.
Right.
So sadaqat wajiba. For example, a person has to pay kafara for something, a qasam that they've broken, for example, or a person has to give something else which is wajib upon them. Somebody, for example, has made a mannat, has made a vow, and that vow is a shari'i mannat. Somebody said, for example, if such and such thing happens in my life, or if I succeed in these exams, or whatever it might be, then I'm going to donate such and such in the path of Allah. And that thing happens. So that now becomes wajib on a person to give. And then you have sadaqat nafila. Sadaqat nafila, like lillah, sadaqah, usually we use these terms. Usually we have like a money box in our house and we can put sadaqah in there. On Fridays we give sadaqah in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
So these things is diverse, is
it's very diverse.
Even spending on your own, you know, your own children, on the mother of your children.
Yeah, this definitely.
This itself is sadaqah.
And sadaqah, even speaking a good word to a Muslim, even smiling at a Muslim,
Allah.
This is sadaqah as well. So, sadaqah, like you mentioned, is very diverse in Islam. Zakat, you can say, is a specific type of charity, which is an obligation, which has its own specific rules.
SubhanAllah. Jazakallahu khairan. My dear brothers and viewers of my channel, there will be many out there who are thinking, alright, you know, I need to give my zakat. And the majority people, I don't know if I can say majority, but from what we know, you know, we can't really say the majority people do this. But what it seems like, especially as an organization, what we understand is that most people, they give their zakat in Ramadan. So does that mean there's a specific time to give zakat? And is it in Ramadan?
Yeah, a lot of people have this misconception. They think that there's zakat season.
Right.
So in Ramadan, zakat season comes around and they get leaflets regarding zakat, or there's awareness about zakat, and therefore people give their zakat in Ramadan. But in actual fact, Ramadan is not directly linked to zakat in any specific way. In actual fact, zakat, the necessity of zakat upon every individual is on a different date.
Right.
How does it work? It works like this, that the first day that a person becomes sahib nisab, a person possesses the minimum amount which is required for zakat to become obligatory. So for gold, that's 7.5 tolas of gold, and silver, 52.5 tolas of silver, if somebody has, that's the nisab. And if somebody has cash, then it's the equivalent value of that amount of silver.
Right.
So if we say that's nisab, now the person who gains, for example, let's say there's a young lad, he's 18 years old, he's got his first job, before that he hasn't got any money, he hasn't got any money to his name. He might have a few pounds that he's gained on Eid or on his birthdays, but nothing which reaches 200 or 230 pounds. So now he starts working, and now he starts gaining a steady income. After a couple of weeks, once he's gained his first couple of weeks of wage, now his assets or his wealth goes above 229 pounds.
Right.
Now his wealth has gone above 229 pounds. Let's say he's got 250 pounds now in his account. Now he must make a note of that date. And he must make a note of the Islamic date, not the English date.
Yeah, this is
because the English date and the Islamic date, obviously,
there's around about 10 days.
There's 10 day difference, isn't there? So, when a year passes in the Islamic date, then according to the English date, there's a 10 day difference. So there's going to be a problem there. So we have to make a note of that date. So this young man, he's made a note of the date when he received
229 pounds that we're talking about.
Yeah. In this particular context. So now he made a note of that date. Let's say, for example, that comes to the 1st of Sha'ban.
Right.
Okay? The 1st of Sha'ban this year. Now, next year, when the 1st of Sha'ban comes around, that person will calculate his wealth again. And he'll look at how much gold he has, how much silver he has, how much cash he has, and he'll calculate everything that zakat is done upon. So if he has any debts or anything, he can minus those debts see how much is left over. So now, if a year later, on that exact date, the 1st of Sha'ban, when it comes around the next year, his wealth is above 229 pounds, the nisab, whatever the nisab will be. Obviously, the rate of silver will change, so it might not be exactly 229 pounds the next year. Whatever the nisab is the following year, let's just say it was. Let's say, for example, the next year, he's earned quite a bit. He spent a bit as well, he's earned quite a bit. Money's been coming and going. But the next year now, he's got 1,000 pounds.
He's got 1,000 pounds.
1,000 pounds is above 229. So now, he's got 1,000 pounds. He's been sahib nisab for a whole year. Now he's been sahib nisab for a whole year. On the 1st of Sha'ban, giving 2.5% of that 1,000 pounds is fard upon him. It's an obligation upon him to give it on that very day. Now, if he waits another month until Ramadan, if he thinks it's only Sha'ban yet, there's a month left to Ramadan. When I get to Ramadan, I'll give my zakat. Everybody gives a zakat in Ramadan. I'm sure there's some kind of link between Ramadan and zakat. If he thinks this, and he waits a month, he'll be sinful for every single moment that he's delaying. So, delaying for even one moment, delaying for even one day, is a major sin. So it's important now for that person to actually give his zakat immediately. He has to give his zakat immediately. If he delays into Ramadan, like I mentioned, then he'd be sinful. So it's not linked to Ramadan, it's linked to everybody's specific zakat date, which everybody has based on when they first became
sahib. A few very, very important things for the viewers of the channel. On the one hand, is that we do not go by the Gregorian calendar, meaning the English calendar. For example, if somebody thought the 1st of January was when I attained, you know, £300, £229. So I'll wait till next year, the 1st of January, to know my discount for this. It's by the Islamic calendar, which is about a 10-day difference. So I don't know if somebody can't remember, you know, what day it was. Can they take an estimate?
Yeah, if somebody can't remember, then they should do a ghalib zan. So they should take an educated guess. So like you can, for example, a person can think, when did I get my first job?
I think nowadays it's quite easy because we have most of our money in our bank, don't we?
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be in a bank. So, you know, some people might think, you know, in my bank, but it don't have to be in a bank.
It could be in your wallet.
So that's how it seems. I don't know what you're coming out with. Keeping money under your mattress, Allahu Akbar. But you some brothers and viewers of Madani channel, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, yes, we are speaking about zakat today, something which is considered an obligation. It is also one of the pillars itself of Islam. Remember, subhanAllah, Islam has five pillars, one being shahada, and one being zakat, as we are speaking about today, salah, which is our daily prayers, Sawm, which is fasting, inshallah, Allahumma balighna Ramadan bi sahhatin wa afiyah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to reach this blessed month of Ramadan and make the most of it. And the last one being Hajj, my dear son brothers. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also those individuals who have not been on Hajj, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the ability to perform Hajj this year. We've already spoken about Hajj, so I won't go into that. But my dear son brothers, in reference to zakat, remember, if 1 year has passed and you possess this amount of wealth, it doesn't have to be in the form of money as we've mentioned, then it becomes farz upon you, necessary for you to immediately, meaning once 1 year has passed, to immediately make somebody, now we'll talk about making somebody the owner.
Yeah,
this is actually very important.
One thing regarding Ramadan, so people might think that, okay, why do some people give zakat in Ramadan, then why is that the case?
Right.
So it's not always wrong to give zakat in Ramadan.
Basically,
for example,
for him is Ramadan.
Yes, in this particular example, the person whose zakat was due a month before Ramadan, for him to wait is not permissible. But let's say, for example, the month after Ramadan, which is Shawwal, let's say, for example, somebody became sahib nisab first of all, meaning he gained the minimum amount first of all in the month of Shawwal. Let's say the 15th of Shawwal.
Right.
Okay. So he gained the amount on the 15th of Shawwal. The next year, when the 15th of Shawwal comes around, if he's still above the limit, he'll have to give his zakat on the 15th of Shawwal. But let's say a month before, during Ramadan, he thinks that I want to give my zakat in advance to gain the blessings of Ramadan. Because as we know, in Ramadan, a nafil act gets the reward of a fard act, and a fard act is multiplied by 70 times. 76. So he thinks that if I give my zakat in advance in the month of Ramadan, I'll get much more reward than if I wait till Shawwal. So what he does is, he gives his zakat in advance before his dates actually come. That's permissible. That's jaiz. So if somebody is giving it in advance in Ramadan, that's jaiz. But to delay it, once it's already become an obligation until Ramadan.
SubhanAllah. And no doubt if he was to give it in Ramadan, which was before it became necessary upon him, he'll be getting more reward, wouldn't he?
He'll be getting more reward, but there's one precaution that needs
to be. But there's something you have to think about when you do this.
That precaution is that now, let's say for example, a person thought that he worked out all of his calculations and he thought, I have to give £100 of zakat.
Yeah.
For example, £100 worked out to be 2.5% of his zakatable wealth, his assets. So he gave that £100 in zakat. Now when the 15th of Shawwal comes, which is his actual zakat day, it's necessary upon him to do the calculation again.
Yeah.
So when he does the calculation again, he works out that, for example, it was actually £100.
Yeah.
It was actually going to be £100 on the 15th of Shawwal anyway. That's fine. He doesn't have to do anything. Let's say, for example, on the 15th of Shawwal, he's actually gained more money. So when he works out on his actual zakat date, the 15th of Shawwal, for this particular individual, how much zakat he has to give, it comes out to £120. But in Ramadan, he only gave £100. Now it's an obligation for him to immediately give the extra £20.
SubhanAllah, jazakallah khairan. This is actually a lot to take in. I'm just thinking, you know, they've just woken up and they've got all this to go through. SubhanAllah, let's take a break and go to the next segment.
Okay.
Inshallah. Also, take a look at the picture, my dear seven brothers and viewers of Madani channel. Take a look at the picture. You know, think about it, brainstorm, you know, take your mind a little bit off zakat for a moment. Don't worry, we will come back to this also. Why? Because it is farz. So we need to get you, my dear son brothers, or our Osama bin Salman needs to get you to pay your zakat today if you have to. Don't forget, when you do pay your zakat, who do you need to give it to? So wait up to also listen about in terms of who is deserving of zakat, who is not Mahdi Islamic Brothers. Before that, let's turn to our next segment. The next segment is a reminder. Sallu ala al-Habib!
Sallallahu
ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah. By the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. A great saint of his time, Sayyiduna Abu Ja'far bin Khattab rahmatullah alayhi states, once a beggar came to his doorstep and he asked for some help. The great sheikh asked his wife if he had something to give to the beggar. His wife replied, we only have 4 eggs. He said to his wife, give them 4 eggs to the beggar. And she did. The beggar took 4 eggs and went. After a while, a friend of the saint came and gave them a basket full of eggs. The sheikh asked his wife, how many eggs are there in the basket? She replied, there are 30 eggs. The sheikh asked, you gave 4 eggs to the beggar. So, by which calculation there are 30 eggs in the basket? She replied, there are 30 unbroken eggs and 10 broken eggs. Now scholars say, regarding this parable, that when the wife gave 4 eggs to the beggar, from them 4 eggs, 3 eggs were unbroken, and 1 egg was broken. And Allah Azza wa Jal gave them 10 times back. So in return of 3 eggs, they were given 30 unbroken eggs. In return of 1 broken egg, they were given 10 broken eggs. SubhanAllah Azza wa Jal. The mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal is immense. In addition to granting us reward in the hereafter, at times, He Azza wa Jal also showers His mercy in the world. Sayyiduna Muhammad Na'imuddin Muradabadi Rahmatullah Alayhi has stated, the one doing one good deed will be given the reward of 10 deeds. However, the reward is not limited to 10. In fact, it is mainly depending upon Allah Azza wa Jal's will. He Azza wa Jal may grant 700 times or even countless rewards. This matter of reward is dependent on the mercy and bounty of Allah Azza wa Jal. SubhanAllah. From this story we learn that if someone comes to you for help, doesn't matter how much you have, do not return the person empty-handed. Give them however much you can. We also learn from this beautiful story that if someone gives in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then sometimes Allah azza wa jalla blesses the person in the world as well. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability of spending our wealth in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ameen bi jahin nabi jilameen sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Mari some brothers and viewers of Madani channel. Yes, alhamdulillah, azza today we have Ustad Mubeen Sahib. We are talking about zakat, that zakat is an obligation, and when, as I mentioned, so this is today, isn't it? So what you need to understand, my dear brothers, is that this keeps changing. You know, the rate, it'll change on,
based on the value of silver.
So if somebody was to, it'll be based on the value of silver. But if they wanted to work out what the rate is for their day, for example, you know, somebody may have given their last year's, and they don't need to give it today yet. They need to give it next month or the month after. Then how do they work out what the value is?
It's very simple. You just find out the price of 1 gram of silver. So that's easily available. Find out the price of 1 gram of silver wherever you are, whichever country you're in, and multiply by 612. That will give you
612. Yeah. Because we have 612 grams, which makes it
55.
Meaning they could just go to their own local
jeweler,
and then ask them.
You could ask them as well.
Right. So by asking them, inshallah, you'll be able to work out how much your zakat is, or when you are sahibi. Right. Sahibi nisa, what does this mean?
Sahibi nisa means the possessor of the minimum amount upon which zakat is required. So, like I mentioned, for gold it's $7.5, for silver it's $52.5. If somebody has a mix of different things, so for example, somebody might think, this is another misconception, somebody might think that, okay, I've got a few hundred pounds in the bank, maybe I've got £200 in the bank, and I've got $3 of gold.
Right.
So $3 of gold is less than $7.5, isn't it?
Yeah.
So somebody might think that $3 of gold doesn't equal nisab, because it doesn't equal $7.5 of gold. And the £200 that I've got in the bank, that doesn't equal nisab either.
Too, yeah.
But in this case, what you have to do is you have to take the value of
the gold,
and you have to add that to how much you have. And when you do that, $3 of gold, and you add it to £200, it will become more than the nisab. So when it becomes more than nisab, according to the price of silver, which, like today, is £229, then zakat will actually become necessary.
I think it's getting quite intricate. I think we're going into quite a bit of detail. Many some brothers and viewers on the channel, I don't want to confuse you, inshallah. Those who can't keep up, please do. Those who are finding any problem, please approach a Sunni alim al-Din. Please approach a Sunni scholar, many some brothers and viewers on the channel. Why? Because it's absolutely imperative, you know, important for you to know, you know, when zakat is necessary upon you. The next part, you also mentioned, you know, within the definition of zakat, you know, when the whole year passes, we've spoken about this year, that this year has to be an Islamic year. You've also mentioned that when a person becomes sahib nisab, and you've told us that that's sahib nisab refers to that individual who qualifies, you know, when it's now necessary upon him, that minimum amount of wealth for which it is necessary for an individual to give zakat. But you also mentioned something else, that to make somebody the owner. What did you mean by this?
Yeah, making somebody deserving of zakat, somebody who can take zakat, the owner of the zakat. So that's extremely important, because sometimes what happens is, I'll give you an example. Let's say there's a poor person,
right,
and the person is deserving. The person is able Islamically to receive his shari'i faqir. Shari'i faqir means somebody who may own something, he may have possessions, but his possessions do not reach nisab. His wealth does not reach nisab. He has less than nisab. So, and also the things that he has beyond necessity do not reach nisab either.
Yeah.
So if he's a shari'i faqir and the definition is found upon him, then let's say, for example, he's ill and he needs to pay medical fees, for example, in Pakistan.
Yeah.
So the person who needs to give zakat, he takes his zakat, and he pays the fees of that person's medical with his zakat money. Now, in this case, you tell me, did he make that individual the owner of it or not?
Well, he didn't give it to that person.
He didn't give it to that person, did he? He just went to the doctors or to the hospital and just paid the fees.
Yeah,
it never actually went into the hands or into the possession of the poor person himself. So now the condition
so the
of zakat
condition.
Was not fulfilled. So this person may have thought that he's given zakat.
So I could probably, you know, somebody probably gave £10,000 to pay for somebody's treatment, that person was poor, and you know, he was probably thinking that, when I'm gonna pay this £10,000, that's my zakat done also.
But the zakat is not done.
The zakat is not done.
Yeah, so
why? Because that condition is not met.
And if this person had knowledge, it was very, very simple, it was very easy. All he had to do was give that £10,000, for example, to the shari'i faqir.
To that.
Shari'i faqir would take it and pay his fees.
Subhanallah.
And then
another very, very extremely important thing, is that when you are giving your zakat, you must make that individual who you give it to, as long as he is deserving of zakat, you must make him the owner of it. Meaning you've given it to him, now it is not yours, you can't take it back, he is now the owner of that money, only then will your zakat be fulfilled, as long as you also fulfill the rest of the conditions.
Obviously here you can,
one more thing.
Yeah, here you can obviously make a wakil as well, you can make a representative. So for example, if you're giving it to Dawat Islami, then Dawat Islami will fulfill that obligation for you of giving it to a shari'i faqir.
Yes, subhanAllah. Well. Meaning a intermediary, you can say.
Right, yeah.
So you can say to, for example, I can say to Ustaz Mubin Sahab, that, you know, I have some money which I wish to give as zakat. Now, no doubt Ustaz Mubin Sahab, mashallah, is a very rich man, so he himself can't take the zakat. I can't make him the owner because my zakat won't be done. But I can say to Ustaz Mubin Sahab, that Ustaz Sahab, can you please, on my behalf, give this to a poor person and make him the owner of it, and that will be my zakat.
Yeah.
So this is allowed, meaning
this is how we
you
give
can
it,
give it to another rich person to give it on your behalf.
Yeah, we can give it
but
to
they also must fulfill the condition.
And give it to an organization like Dawat Islami.
Or you can give it to an
Dawat Islami, everything that happens within Dawat Islami is regulated by scholars of Sharia, Muftiyani Kiram, who make sure that everything is done according to the laws of Sharia.
So this is what we were going to come to, Usama bin Saab. You know, we've spoken about giving zakat, but before we do come to this, who is deserving of zakat?
Yeah, so the, when giving zakat, there's a few things that need to be taken into account. There's a certain type of categories of people who zakat cannot be given to.
Cannot be given.
So first of all, when giving zakat, we hear, and this is the teachings of Islam, that we should give to our needy relatives first and foremost.
Right.
So first and foremost, we look in our own family, and we see which of our close relatives are needy, and we give zakat to them first, because they are most deserving of our zakat. But in this, there are certain relatives we can't give it to. And those are husband and wife. The spouse cannot give it to their spouse. Husband can't give it to wife.
Meaning the husband can't give it to the wife.
And the wife can't give it to the husband. And a person can't give it to their mother or father, or their grandfather or grandmother.
Yeah.
And a person can't give it to their son, or their daughter, or their grandchildren.
Grandchildren.
So basically, those who are your offspring, or those whose offspring you are. You can't give it to them. That's not allowed.
So those who do fall within your lineage,
yes,
your
whether from above or from below.
From above or from below, you can't give it to them.
You can't give it to
and
them.
And one spouse can't give it to the other.
Yeah, that's right.
Your husband can't think, oh, you know, my wife, she doesn't have that much money, so today I'll give her some pocket money, and that'll be my zakat.
Yeah, no, the reason for this is that in this, you're basically giving it to yourself.
Basically to yourself, isn't it?
You're basically giving it to yourself, because these are such close relationships.
Yeah. So you can't give it to your brother.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to move on to. So some people ask that, oh, my brother or my sister's really poor, and they are shuddi faqir, the conditions are found. Can I give zakat to them? The answer is yes, you can. And in fact, they're most deserving of it.
They're most deserving.
They're more deserving of it than anybody
before
else.
Before you give it to others, if they truly are faqir, if they really are poor, consider poor in Sharia, then you should first give it to them before
yes.
you give it to anybody. So even we say, alhamdulillah, you know, we are part of Dawat Islami, Madi Islami brothers. We say, yes, give your zakat to Dawat Islami. But if you have close relatives who are poor, then they are deserving first. Give it to them first. And this is what,
similarly,
one of the beauties, isn't it, of Dawat Islami. Something we're not shy to say. We're not, you know, for you know, those people who say, oh, no, for us, okay, you know, it's okay to give it to us first. And then, no, Madi Islami brothers. Whatever the Sharia stipulates, this is, alhamdulillah, we are proud to openly say, yes, give it to those, you know, close relatives. If they are poor, then yes, give it to them first. But after that, my dear Simon brothers, that's when it gets exciting. Do you want to say something?
Yeah, I was just going to say, so that obviously includes uncles, aunties, cousins as well.
Yeah.
So if they're like distant members of the family are in need first, give it to them. After that, once you've given it to them, then also remember Dawat Islami in your zakat as well.
But why give it to us, my dear Islami brothers and viewers of Madinah? Alhamdulillah, Azzajal. We do have our next segment, which shall be a hadith. But before we go into a hadith, my dear Islami brothers, let's listen to, or let's watch a promo, alhamdulillah, as to, you know, why should we give it to Dawat Islami, our zakat, our sadaqah. You know, many people give sadaqah. I think we'll speak about this again. My dear Islami brothers, we have a package, a promo ready. Let's watch that promo. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
It's Dawat-e-Islami, it's a right to rectify the people, it's all over the world.
It is the saying of the beloved and the blessed Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, sadqa locks up 70 doors of evil. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, Dawat Islami at this moment is working in 107 departments.
It's spreading the fragrance of the love of the Prophet.
In these departments, great work is being taken place. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, let me brief you with a few departments of Dawat Islami. One of the departments is Madrasat al-Madinah.
The love of the Prophet, it's all over the world.
Up to now, alhamdulillah azza wa jal, over 240,000 children have finished Nazara Quran, and over 80,000 students have finished HIFS in this Madrasat al-Madinah, which are taught free of charge. By this time, brothers, Dawat Islami is working in many other departments, along with these departments like working with the deaf, dumb and blind people. Alhamdulillah, Dawat Islami is also working in prisons, also working in colleges, universities, and alhamdulillah, wherever Dawat Islami can take the works of deen, Dawat Islami is trying to approach and work in there. In many countries of the world, alhamdulillah, from UK, America, Canada, South Africa, and many other parts of the world. My dear Islami brothers, how can you support the works of Dawat Islami? Those who can give their time towards the work of Deen, alhamdulillah. can give time in any of these departments, try to come forward and give your time. You can support this beautiful organization of Dawat Islami through your sadaqah, through your charity, through your zakat, through donating towards this beautiful movement. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal. Who knows, by you donating, that little amount can help support this work of deen reach every part and every corner of the world. May Allah Azza wa Jal give us all the ability to give our charity in the way of His deen.
It's all over the world.
Donors from different countries where PayPal services are available can now easily use their PayPal account to deposit donations to Dawat Islami. Please note our PayPal IDs. For donation, nafila@dawatislami.net. For zakat and fitrah, wajiba@dawatislami.net.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Now, mashallah, Mubima, I didn't know yesterday we had our Hafiz Rafaqat Sahib, mashallah.
Mashallah.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him. Amen. He mentioned something yesterday, you know, what he said was that, you know, if you are to give somebody a fish, feed somebody a fish, then you would be feeding them for that one day. Whereas if you are to teach them fishing, how to fish, then you would be feeding them for the entire life.
Subhanallah.
And, you know, it's a beautiful point, and, you know, it's something we've all heard, isn't it?
Yes.
You know, if you just contemplate over, this is exactly what Dawat Islami is doing, isn't it? Where from students who are really young, from children, teaching them how to recite the Quran, first the Qaeda, then the Quran, then in Hifz of the Quran, 240,000 individuals have completed the Quran, 80,000 individuals have memorized the Quran. You know, the beautiful point about this is that it keeps increasing. Whatever we say, the next day, inshallah, it'll be even higher. Subhanallah. The next day, each and every single one of these numbers would increase. And then, there's, you know, the madaris will increase. We have nearly a mosque being built a day in Dawat Islami, alhamdulillah. One mosque, my dear Islamic brothers, every single day, subhanallah, talking about, you know, the works of religion which Dawat Islami is doing. But it doesn't stop there. Then it's, you know, going into universities. It's every stage of life, isn't it? Teaching people it is. And even those people who are unfortunately, you know, imprisoned, you know, some who maybe, you know, were deserving to be imprisoned, some maybe not deserving to be imprisoned. But either way, Dawat Islam is reaching them. Dawat Islam is teaching them, making them repent. People change, haven't they? From prison, my dear brothers. Now, the beautiful thing, honestly, you know, even I remember when I was in Pakistan, is something which really hit me hard, was I've seen some people, don't like, we have a huge ijtima. Those people who would have watched, you know, our ijtimas on, you know, the last 10 days of Ramadan, or, you know, Milad Sharif, how entire the Fizani Madinas, you know, I don't know if I could say tens of thousands, but I think we have more than 10,000, don't we, in that Fizani Madina. This is one place, and we have hundreds of them, mashallah, all around the world, which do become, you know, full of people. But we also have a separate group on the side. You would have seen this. We have a separate group on the side, and this we have, you know, hundreds or so people, maybe more.
MashaAllah.
But do you know what this group consists of, my dear brothers and viewers of Madani Channel? What this group consists of is those people who can neither speak nor hear. And in sign language, if you have this sign language like this, you know, by way of...
How that sign language actually is.
I have no idea how to speak in sign language, subhanAllah. But yes, my dear Islamic brothers, in sign language, we have a muballigh, a preacher of Dawat Islami, translating whatever is, you know, being said by Amir al-Sunnah or the muballigh. And when you are to view that, really, it is so beautiful. But you don't even stop there.
It's amazing, isn't it? I mean, just, you know...
Just one more thing. Those people who, okay, you know, we are catering those individuals who can't hear or speak, but then there's those people who can neither hear, they can neither speak, nor can they see. And alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jalla, Dawat Islami also caters for them.
Subhanallah.
How beautiful is this, my dear Islamic brothers? Everybody is deserving of the religion, that gift which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to each and every single one of us through the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Holy Quran. Dawat Islami teaches people who cannot hear, They cannot see, they cannot read. It teaches them how to read the Holy Quran, we can say.
Through Braille.
Through Braille, yeah. That's the language, isn't it? It's dots, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's dots. And then by placing their finger over it, they're able to determine as to what each letter is, which denotes upon. I don't know how. SubhanAllah, I don't know Braille. Do you know any?
No, I don't. But the key point here is that Dawat Islami, mashallah, is catering for even the most neglected parts of society. Those people who, unfortunately, obviously this shouldn't happen in our society, but it does. People who are, challenged in that way, they're not looked after by their family as they should. Society doesn't really cater for them as society should. But alhamdulillah, in Dawat Islami, that's not the case. Dawat Islami has an entire department to look after such people, alhamdulillah.
SubhanAllah, I remember, sorry to interject, but I remember when I was in Pakistan. This was about 2 years ago, I think, if I'm correct. About 2 years ago, there was a course going on for those individuals that were mute, meaning they could not speak and they could not hear. Alhamdulillah, my dear son, brothers, that Islam is catering for such people. Really, if you're still, doubtful as to where to give your sadaqah, where to give your zakat, my dear son, brothers, what better place than Dawat Islami?
Just on that note, Imam Al-Qurtubi, rahimahullah, he mentions a beautiful point. He says that when a person is donating, it's like we talked about before, it's like a person sowing seeds. And when a farmer sows seeds, the greatest way of maximizing his harvest is to make sure that, first of all, the seed that he's sowing is good quality. Secondly, the place where he is sowing his seed,
Allah,
that is fertile ground. So he says, based on this, when a person gives charity, he should give charity from pure money. He should ensure that the money that he's giving in charity is halal, is pure. And he should make sure that he's giving it in a place which will give him the most reward, which will maximize his harvest. So alhamdulillah, as you just described all these departments of Dawat Islami, when a person gives to Dawat Islami, he will gain a share of the reward of all of these actions that is happening. So Dawat Islami is, mashallah, teaching hundreds of thousands of children a day. Dawat Islami is producing thousands of huffaz of the Quran, memorized of the Quran.
So easy to see, isn't it?
Dawat Islami is producing
thousands of these, thousands hundreds of scholars. Think about it.
I mean, just imagine the challenge of running one Jamia, one Islamic university. Obviously, we are connected to the Jamia here in Bradford. Mm-hmm. So we know that, obviously, the cost every single month is £30,000.
More than 30,000.
Just for 1 month. Just for 1 month. So
even more than 30,000.
Even more than that. So you can multiply it for a year, it goes into hundreds of thousands for one. And Dawat Islami is not running one Jamia. Dawat Islami in the UK is running 9 Jamiatul Madinah.
Allah.
And across the world, Dawat Islami is running 616 Jamiatul Madinah. 616 Islamic universities. So you can imagine the cost, and you can imagine how many people are benefiting from that in all these different countries across the world. So now the question is, all of that good work is happening. All of these scholars are being produced. The Quran is being taught. All of this good work is happening, but what is our share? Do I have a share in that reward, or do I not have a share in that reward? And if I want to have a share in all of that good deed, in all of those good deeds, it's very simple. The simple way is for us to donate to Dawat Islami for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that we too can gain a share, gain a portion of all of that good work. Maybe we weren't able to become an alim. Maybe we weren't able to teach other people to become alims. Maybe we weren't able to make somebody a hafiz of the Quran by teaching them. Maybe we weren't able to become a hafiz of the Quran ourselves. We can gain the reward of all of those who are becoming hafiz of the Quran. We can gain the reward of all of those who are becoming scholars of the religion by supporting them financially.
SubhanAllah, I'm silly in my day, you can continue.
Yeah, so it's just that obviously Dawat Islami is a worldwide organization which is doing so much good. And if that good is going to happen, whether we partake or not, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's, the work of Allah's deen will continue to happen. So it's a case of whether or not I have my share in it or not. So it's like, especially with the month of Ramadan coming up, it's important for us to engage in charity in the month of Ramadan. Our beloved Prophet alayhi sallam, regarding him, Sayyidina Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu, he says in the hadith, كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أجود الناس.
Allah!
The beloved Prophet alayhi sallam was the most generous of all people, the most generous of mankind. And then he says, وَأَجْوَدُ مَا يَكُونُ فِي رَمَضَانِ. And the most generous that he would be in the month of Ramadan. Allah. So the month of Ramadan is the time or the period where the most generous of all mankind, of all of creation, would be the most generous.
Allah.
And those are the days which are, those are the days which are approaching us now. So it's a sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ to increase in generosity in the month of Ramadan. And this is something that we should all be making an intention of from now.
SubhanAllah. Jazakallah khairah for those beautiful words. My dear seven brothers and viewers of the channel, don't forget the name of the program is Rise and Shine. Alhamdulillah, you know, well, I don't know what to say because it is the United Kingdom. Sometimes we have beautiful weather as it is. And sometimes even in the morning, the weather is so beautiful. And in the evening, unfortunately, we get darkness before the true darkness, don't we? In these days, my dear seven brothers. But don't forget, rise and shine, even if not outside, rise and shine with Madini Channel. How literally, you know, my dear Islamic brothers, by learning about Islam, become enlightened and shine by teaching others, my dear Islamic brothers, and viewers of Madini Channel. As you are already aware, each and every single day, we have, you know, various segments and also a new segment. Before we do come to our today's segment is a home remedy. Before we do come to that, let's take a look at our today's hadith, the daily hadith. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Inshallah azza wa jal. Today we will be listening to a very beautiful hadith in regards to the perfection of akhlaq. It is narrated on the authority of Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala an. Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said, "Min husli al-islam al-mar'i tarkuhu ma la ya'nihi." That Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said, "Part of the perfection of a person's faith is leaving alone what does not concern him." Dear viewers of Madani Channel, the main concept behind this hadith is to set a standard of good manners and behavior, leading us to the perfection of akhlaq. This beautiful hadith reminds us that life is too short, therefore we will be in harm by indulging ourselves in those actions which do not benefit us in the hereafter. This hadith also pushes us to focus only on those things that will benefit us in this dunya and in the hereafter as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala truly allow us to value our time in this dunya and implement this hadith into our lives. Ameen, bijahin nabil, ameen. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. No doubt a beautiful hadith, my dear brothers and viewers of the channel. Again, emphasizing the importance of sending salawat, durood, praise, peace and blessings upon the greatest of mankind, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And that's why, alhamdulillah, it is a habit of ours. And this is what we try to make as, you know, within our life, to regularly send the durood upon the greatest of mankind, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. We were talking about zakat. I'm going to ask you to give another overview. You see, because we did go, you know, quite into the technicality of zakat. And, you know, it may have been a little intricate for the viewers of Madani Channel. So I'd like you to give an easy overview of zakat, please, if you don't mind.
Okay. So, when a person, the date that a person first gained the nisab, which is either 87 grams of gold.
Even do not these terms, if you could try to, you know, again explain what these terms
are. Yeah, that's fine. So a person gained the minimum amount upon which the
meaning, make it as easy as possible you can for the viewers of Madani Channel.
So a person, for example, he gained the minimum amount. So as we talked about today, the minimum amount according to the rate of silver is about 229 pounds.
Right.
So the date when a person gains more than that, he has to record. Once he's recorded the Islamic date that he became the owner of the minimum amount of zakatable wealth, that wealth which zakat is due upon. Now one
year
later.
Did you just say zakatable?
Yeah, zakatable.
SubhanAllah, I love that word.
Now 1 year later, when that date comes again, that same Islamic day comes in the following year, now he has to see whether he still possesses above that minimum amount or not. If he does, now zakat is obligatory upon him immediately. And zakat is necessary upon gold, silver, cash, and business stock, trade goods, meaning things that you've bought with the intention of selling. And there's other things like animals as well, but these are the main things in our context. And we also talked about how a person has to give 2.5% of that, and he has to give it to a shari'i faqir, somebody who's poor by the definition of sharia. And he has to make that person the owner of it. He has to give it into the ownership of that individual. And he can't give it to his parents or grandparents, his children or grandchildren. Or a wife can't give it to the husband, a husband can't give it to the wife. But you can give it to other relatives. One of the point here, who you can't give it to, which is important to highlight, is that it's not permissible to give it to Bani Hashim, those who are Sayyid, who are descendants of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, those who are the children of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu an, the children of Sayyidina Ja'far radiallahu an, the children of Sayyidina Aqil radiallahu an, the children of Sayyidina Abbas radiallahu an, and the children of Harith bin Abdul Muttalib. So the children of these are Bani Hashim, those who are from the tribe of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So for example,
Sayyidina Abbas and Sayyidina Harith were the uncles of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, weren't they? The paternal uncles.
Yes.
And Hazrat Sayyidina Ali, Karamallahu wajhahu al-Kareem, Sayyidina Aqil, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And the third one was Hazrat Sayyidina Ja'far al-Tayyar, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. These were all the children of Abu Talib. So these were the cousins of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So their entire lineage, meaning if their lineage goes back to one of these five individuals, or obviously, or the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself, then in this case, we can't give them zakat?
Yeah, we can't give them zakat. These are, it's been forbidden to give them zakat in hadith. So, in narrations, it mentions that once the grandson of the Prophet ﷺ, Imam Hassan radiallahu anhu, there were some dates of sadaqah which had been given, dates
Allah,
of charity.
Allah.
The Prophet ﷺ actually, Sayyidina Imam Hassan actually put it into his blessed mouth, and the Prophet ﷺ had it removed from his mouth, and he said that we do not eat the filth of the wealth of other people. Why is that? Because at the beginning we talked about zakat being a means of purification. And remember the Ahlul Bayt, the family of the Prophet ﷺ, his descendants are purified.
Allah.
They are too pure to accept the filth of our wealth.
SubhanAllah.
So they are, because they're purified, that's why zakat cannot be given to them. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't help them. If someone is poor and they are from that family,
sadaqah,
this means that we should actually help them with our nafli sadaqat.
By giving
them nafli sadaqat. Nafli sadaqat is not classified as the filth of our wealth.
Gee.
So therefore, and this is something which gains great rewards. Meaning it shouldn't be the case that, we only give them what is necessary, we only give them what zakat is, only because, you know, we have to give our zakat, so we give that to them. We should be going above and beyond to help them voluntarily. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala
blessed
us.
You see, we wouldn't be allowed to give our zakat, would we?
Wouldn't,
so you
wouldn't
can't
be.
Really give our zakat.
Yes, so that's what I'm saying. We should go above and beyond and give them our voluntary donations.
Yeah, voluntary.
And in reality, everything we have is due to the blessings of their grandfather.
Allah, Allah.
Everything
Allah.
We have is due to the sadaqah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Everything we have is due to his distribution.
It's as if we're giving it back to.
And you know, there's narrations which say that whoever assists the descendants of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam when they're in their time of need, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam himself will repay that person on the Day of Judgment.
Allah, my dear Islamic brothers and viewers of my channel, a brilliant message. If there is a Sayyid who is, you know, in a difficult situation, then help him. Why? We shall be, inshallah, on the Day of Judgment, you know, what will be our situation? We will go to the Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, the Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, all of the prophets, my dear Islamic brothers and viewers of my channel, and then we will present ourselves in the blessed court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Now imagine you were the one who turned away one of his children.
Allah.
Then what would be our state when we are begging from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the Day of Judgment for his help? No doubt the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will inshallah help us, and we have this hope. But in this day, and you know, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself says that he shall pay back the favor that somebody grants to his child. So my dear brothers, again, if there is any Sayyid, any descendant of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then no, do not give him zakat. Zakat do not give him, because your zakat will not be dull. It will not be done. It will be invalid. But help him in any way. Give him sadaqah. Grant him gifts. And help him, my dear brothers. And respect Sayyids. This is something I think we should, which we normally speak about during the month of Muharram. We should have respect and honor for anybody who is from the lineage of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. We don't have long left, so we have approximately 20 left, and I wish to go to our final segment, which is a home remedy. Let's go to our next segment, my dear brothers and viewers of Madani channel. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Anbiya'i wal Mursaleen. Amma ba'd fa a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajeem. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Madani channel ke nazreen, aapko aaj ek bahut hi aham gharelu ilaaj arz karenge, aankhon ke gird siyah halke. Ye insaan ke shakhsi taasur par jo hai bura asar dalte hain, aur ye aankhon ke gird siyah halke jo hote hain iski mukhtalif wujuhat hua karti hain. اس میں سے ایک وجہ یہ بھی ہے کہ جگر کا درست کام نہ کرنا، اور ایک وجہ یہ بھی بتائی جاتی ہے کہ نیند کا پورا نہ ہونا، راتوں کو دیر تک جاگنا، یہ بھی جو ہے آنکھوں کے گرد سیاہ حلقے بننے کا سبب بنتا ہے. تو اللہ تعالی ہم سب پر رحمت کی نظر فرمائے. تو اس کا بہت ہی مختصر اور اہم اور جامع علاج انشاءاللہ عزوجل آپ کو عرض کرتے ہیں. اس نسخے میں کیا ہے؟ اس نسخے میں دو چیزیں ہیں، نمبر ایک افسنتین اور نمبر دو چاسکو. اس کی مقدار ہم نے کتنی کتنی لینی ہے؟ 6 گرام افسنتین اور 6 گرام چاسکو. اور اس کو بنانے کا طریقہ کیا ہے وہ بھی سماعت فرمائے. بہت ہی آسان طریقہ ہے کہ رات کو 6 گرام افسنتین اور 6 گرام چاسکو جو ہے ایک گلاس پانی کے اندر آپ ڈال کر بھگو کر رکھ دیں، اور صبح جو ہے نہار منہ اس کو چھان کر جو ہے پی لیا جائے. یہ مختصر تھا، اس کا بنانے کا بھی طریقہ ہے اور اس کو پینے کا بھی طریقہ ہے. تو یہ مسلسل استعمال کیا جائے انشاءاللہ عزوجل کچھ ہی دنوں کے بعد جو ہے آنکھوں کے گرد جو سیاہ حلقے ہیں انشاءاللہ عزوجل یہ دور ہو جائیں گے. اللہ تعالی ہم سب کے مریضوں پر رحمت کی نظر فرمائے. صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد.
رسول پاک کی
Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. I have a question for you. Did you get that?
Yeah, there was some difficult ingredients in that. So
the ingredients were quite... I'm just wondering whether the viewers of Madani channel would have got that.
I think I'm not sure where to get hold of those ingredients.
Allahu Akbar, subhanAllah, that's a very good point you pointed out. I think none of the elderly will probably know.
Possibly.
You know, to be honest, think about it. How much ingredients do you know?
Not many.
Not many. It's true, isn't it? You know, there's so many
especially
things.
Especially herbs and spices. There's so many different types of herbs and spices.
Yes, subhanAllah. You know, they always come out with something different. Yeah, add a bit of this to it. You know, mashallah, elderly alada. The elderly are a blessing, aren't they?
Definitely.
Mashallah. And these are, I think that's something, I think was a cure for the eye bugs.
That's right.
We were just talking about the eye bugs. You know, I always have eye bugs. I'm going to need to, inshallah, contact Khalid by himself and, you know, try to make that. Subhanallah. Well, if it works, I'll, you know, share it with the viewers of Madani channel. But remember, Madani friends and viewers of Madani channel, that whenever you do use any sort of home remedy, please consult your physician, doctor, whoever it may be. Please consult a doctor before using any herbal remedies. Why? Obviously, you know, it's quite obvious, isn't it? There could be some sort of side effect. And different people have different sort of allergies. Now, my dear brothers and viewers of Madani channel, as usual, we do have an image of the day. Inshallah, that image shall be displayed. What we can see within this image is, in fact, we also have some calls. So yes, let's take a look at the image, and at the same time, let's listen to some calls. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi وعلى آله وسلم.
My name is Muhammad Amir Hussein Attari from Manchester. The picture shows that when you're going to your grave, you'll be taking all your deeds with you, whether good or bad.
My name is Murad and I'm from Leeds. This photo shows, of my opinion, that this country shows that behind the technology there are secrets, and by these guys, by the phone and the control pad, it shows that they, I guess, hiding or want to bury the things behind it. So what no one should really know. I don't know if that makes sense, but yeah.
Jazakallahu khairan, both of you individuals, mashallah, who did send in their voice message, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you. Now, for the rest of the views on the channel, I can't say they have long. Maybe if you do contact us immediately, your calls may be played. So, Sazab, you can see this picture. This picture shows, you know what it shows.
Yes.
What do you think of it? Now, I think the first brother did say that it shows what? Your book of deeds will go
He said all of your deeds, whether they're good or bad, will go into the grave.
All of your deeds, whether good or bad, will go into the grave. Well, not that all of our deeds will go into the grave with us. That's fine, that's his interpretation.
In my humble opinion, right, the message that this image is giving is that in the modern age especially, technology has basically buried the book. Technology has buried education. So where before people used to gain pleasure, enjoyment, entertainment from reading books, from increasing their knowledge, now people waste time on games, on mobile phones, on social media, and people don't read anymore. Because people don't read anymore, and people spend time on these things, society is getting dumbed down, unfortunately. And this is a thing that we see prevalent in many homes, that where people before used to read books, they used to be interested in education, in different topics, in increasing their knowledge on various things. Now, unfortunately, because of games and because of technology and because of social media, people don't read as much as they used to do.
Subhanallah, jazakallahu khair. My review was of Rise and Shine. Time has finished. We must bring this program to a close. But only for today, don't worry. Inshallah, we shall be returning tomorrow. For now, my dear viewers of Munna Channel, please keep this on your mind that we must continue to send salutations upon the greatest of mankind. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end. And the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.